we have these special times that can sometimes be very crazy times, right? But they're times that we remember and we stop. And I put together probably over the last, the longest one here was something I saved about 8 years ago, but I have different cartoons and comics that to me say Thanksgiving, my favorite holiday. So I just have to share this with you. This first one, as we're thinking about what we're grateful for. Have you seen this? What are you thankful for? Vegetarians, said the turkey. For sure. Or for those of you that might have the relation to this next one, little ones that are under the table, the dogs, and bless all the food on our table and off the table. We'll share it with them too. I think that's so cute. Next one. I'm thankful to have a family who takes eating as seriously as I do. I already mentioned that. I love this one. And Charlie Brown with a good old classic, what if today we were just grateful for everything? Grateful for the crazy cousin. Grateful for the cranberry sauce that doesn't turn out. Grateful for the toys all over the living room. Grateful for the stillness of the house that may be different than what you've had before. Grateful for, and you can fill in the blank. And the last one I think is great. We have so much to be thankful for. One day a year hardly seems adequate, right? It is inadequate. Thanksgiving, though, gives us this pause. It gives us this opportunity. It reminds us of what we have and who gave it to us. Thanksgiving takes our mind off of our wants and focuses them on our blessings. Thanksgiving gives our hands a rest from labor and gives us the opportunity to lift them up in praise. Thanksgiving acknowledges that every good and perfect gift comes from God. Like that text that we just said, James 1, verse 17, that every good and perfect gift is from our Lord. Everything that we have has been given to us. We just get this chance to stop, to appreciate, to receive it. For me, this text that we're about to look at, it might seem like an unusual place to go today, because it's a man who teaches us, to me, much about gratitude, but he has no name. He's only given two titles that show where he was at in relationship to the culture and society in which he lived. But he doesn't bear a name. He teaches us much, though, about what it looks like to live a life of gratitude. As I read through the story again and again and again, as I was reflecting and praying over this time together today, I was again struck with the posture of how my life can be in relation to God when it comes to gratitude. So this unnamed one is found in Luke chapter 17. We're going to start in verse 11. It's Luke chapter 17. You're welcome to turn there or you can look at the screen behind. But it's Luke chapter 17 and verse 11, and it starts off, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee." Now, before we go even any further, I just want to stop here with this one verse. Notice this key point for Luke. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Now, this is his purpose. This is fulfilling his destiny. This is the promise that he was born for. And it is while he's on his way to Jerusalem, in this no man's land between Samaria and Galilee, that he encounters this one, and rather these 10, that he can make a difference in their life. He is doing something else when there's an opportunity to make a difference in someone else's life. I believe that this is so key right here because Jesus' ministry was characterized by a willingness to be interrupted. You see, he was headed towards Jerusalem, but yet when people need him, when they stop him, when there's a chance to make a difference in someone else's life, he's willing to be interrupted, and that's what characterized his life. So in verse 12, we go on. As he's going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." or have mercy on us, depending on your translation. The lepers had to stand far off because rabbinic tradition allowed for them to come within 100 paces of someone else. They couldn't come up close, so they called out in a loud voice for Jesus to hear them. Now, leprosy was this skin disease. There's many different varieties that fall under this category, but it was not just a disease that affected the outside, but affected the inside, because they suffered from isolation, this lack of belonging, this feeling on the outside of the community. Now, it doesn't have to be something that characterizes the outside for us to feel that coming in here. You might be someone who feels like you don't belong. You might feel isolated or on the outside. That's what they felt, because they couldn't come into the community. They were ceremonially unclean. They couldn't enter the temple. So you find them on the edges calling out, "Mercy! Jesus, have mercy." We don't even know how these ones who were on the margins found out that Jesus was one they could call out for. But they knew no doctor could help them. They knew there was no healing that they had been able to receive thus far. So they called out to this one, and they asked from a distance for Jesus to make his power known to them. Reminds me of Romans chapter 5, verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." This verse that reminds us that there is a time that we were all afar off, that we were all without strength. This word in Greek literally means to be helpless. Like those lepers, we were helpless to stop ourselves from moving towards destruction. We were helpless in the face of our sin. We were helpless in the face of someone else's illness. We've all felt that helplessness before. There's nothing like watching someone else's life and feeling helpless to do anything about it. But Jesus heard their cry for mercy. So they cry out for his mercy, and he hears and he responds. In verse 14, it said, "When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourself to the priest.' And they went, and they were cleansed." Jesus tells them to start this process of being renewed to the community. In Leviticus 14, it gives instructions for when you are healed, that you would be able to re-enter the religious community. So Jesus tells them to go start this process of becoming connected with the religious community again. And these words he says to them as they're going, to me, are what's so striking. He says that they were made clean as they went. For all of us who seek healing from Jesus, this is a really startling word from God made flesh. Our tendency is to wail or to wallow or to wait. Instead, this particular story from this gospel teaches us that healing happens on the way. Healing happens as we faithfully respond to what God has said. Healing, in this case, comes with action. Healing comes as they listen to the word of Jesus. The other incentive had some more, other nine had more incentive to go to the priests, because we're going to find out the title that this man bore would not have allowed him to re-enter like they could. We're going to find out who he is in this next verse. "One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan." Notice what happens with this man was healed. It says, when he saw he was healed, he came back. This Samaritan leper recognized what was happening. He turned around and he praised God. He revealed to everyone who was there that he knew it wasn't the temple or the priest that was able to heal him. It was Jesus. And he came to acknowledge him. What I love about this section is that he was standing afar away from Jesus, afar off, the text says. But then notice, as God's healing power is working in his life, suddenly we find him close. We find him at the feet of Jesus now. He was distanced, and now he's brought near by the work of God in his life. And he's touching the feet of Jesus as he praises him. You see, that's how it is with Jesus. We call out to him. We cry out for mercy. We declare our longing for him to work in us. And as we experience that healing, we find ourselves coming a little closer. We find ourselves suddenly at his feet. And when we're there, we find ourselves caught up in thanksgiving. Have you ever had that before, where suddenly you're right there with him and suddenly your heart is lifted when you didn't know that it could be lifted at all? This little footnote that Jesus makes, "and he was a Samaritan," is so important. You see, you've read before that Jews and Samaritans wouldn't even share vessels. There was no way they'd be caught sharing a meal. And yet Jesus holds him up as an example. Jesus says this is what it looks like to live a life of faith, a life of gratitude. Not only is he a leper, but he is someone else doubly marginalized because he's a Samaritan. He's doubly an outcast. Think of all of the ways that we can stand on the outlying edges of society today. There's so many ways that we marginalize each other now. Gender, race, disability, social status, illness, impurity, class, language, immigration status, sexual orientation, and age. We use so many different things that can cause us to push to the edges. And you know, some of you sitting right here, some of us feel this being on the edges. That's who Jesus holds up as the teacher for those gathered there. Verse 17, Jesus responds, he says to all of them, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this?" And we find his other title, foreigner. "Then he said to him, 'Rise and go, your faith has made you well.'" So he bore these titles, Samaritan, foreigner, the one on the outside, and yet Jesus holds him up. Now for some, Jesus' response is deeply unsettling to you and problematic. He says, "Your faith has made you well." Now, in 2007, there were 2 men who had cancer. One was healed and the other died. Same kind of cancer. One was my father. We said goodbye to him, and someone came up to me and asked me this question. Did this happen because there just wasn't enough faith? I also had someone else around say, "Yeah, that's what someone told me when we lost my child, that if we would have had enough faith, that God would have healed our son." Oh, no, it doesn't work like that. God is not waiting and watching in the lives of you and I to see, is there enough that I can reward there with healing? Is there enough that I can see there so that you can receive this? No, there's a bigger narrative going on. There is heartache, there is sin, there is brokenness. But in this grand narrative, we all will ultimately receive healing. But what Jesus is talking about is something that goes beyond what we experience in our bodies. He's talking about this faith and wholeness that makes us well beyond what healing we might experience even in our bodies here. There's something deeper going on here. God does not desire for you to suffer. God does not desire for your family to suffer, and that's not what he's communicating here. But God is saying here that there's a mercy. There's a transformation. There's a change that comes within us to where there's a wellness, a wholeness, a healing that comes when we come to God face to face. That not only is our body healed ultimately, which some of us we wait in faith, but our soul and our mind are made whole. So there's this difference between him and the other 9. What made this difference between this one Samaritan foreigner and the other 9 who didn't ever return or come back? This Greek word here is eido, which means to see, to experience, to notice, to pay attention to. You see, it says that he was going on his way to the temple just like the others, but then it says he saw, he stopped, he noticed, he paid attention to the transforming power of God in his body. He paid attention, and so he turned back to give thanks. You know, that's where gratitude all starts with, right? That we stop, that we pay attention, that we look. So this word is that he stopped, and then the next is to give thanks, and it's eucharisto. It's the same word Eucharist, to come to the communion table, that he gave thanks and he gave praise to God. You see, the 9 lepers had enough faith to receive healing of their physical bodies, but only this one received the healing, not only of his physical disease, but the healing of his soul. Because he came and he bowed down and he gave thanks to Jesus. Think about what Luke is connecting here with this idea. He's saying the practices that mark our Christian worship, the way we come together like today in praise and thanksgiving, he's connecting this to a restored health, wellness, he says. It has made you well or whole or complete or healthy. The leper cried out to God. He received mercy. He experienced transformation, and then he came back with praise and thanksgiving to God. Martin Luther is said to have defined worship as this, the 10th leper coming back. The 10th leper coming back. That a wellness, a wholeness, a healing comes in our praise that we give to God. So Jesus holds him up as a surprising model of what it looks like to live a life of faith and praise. He was a doubly marginalized character that now becomes our teacher. So this is another note that I think is important. Not only is our life defined by those interruptions that happened while we're on the way to somewhere else where we can be a blessing to someone, but also God is able to surprise us with who becomes our teacher. We never know who God will use to become our teacher in that moment. So Jesus holds him up and he says, this one teaches us what it looks like to be grateful, to be thankful for God's goodness. You see, some say in this story that we just read that it recounts 2 healings. The first is of skin and the second is of heart. In turning back, in praising, in stopping to acknowledge, Jesus was saying he was healed. In stopping to recognize what God was doing, what only God could do, he experienced a blessing. Now there's another scene that I want to take you to, that God was gathered with his people in Deuteronomy chapter 8. God gathered his people together as he was going to let them into the promised land. And as they went, he gives these instructions to them as they're standing there in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. And he gives this warning that I think echoes down through time to us today. He gathers them together and says, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when you have herds and flocks that grow large and your silver and gold increase and you have it all multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Now verse 17, "You may say to yourself, my power and my strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." So God says, lest you start to think this is from you, I want you to remember, even as you receive these blessings that I am giving you, even as you receive what I want to put in your hands, because God longs to bless you, I want you to stop and give thanks so that you know that this is not coming from yourself, but coming from God. So how can we do this? How can we look at the world in such a way as to stop and pay attention and see, just like he did, so that we can hardly contain our joy, but we turn back around and we run to Jesus and we fall at his feet and we give thanks? How can we notice? How can we pay attention? How can we worship? I saw this video actually years ago. This video that talks about the seconds of our life that we could so easily miss, but that we can stop and give gratitude for. So I invite you to think through these moments in your life, even as you're watching the ones pictured here. Think through those moments that are poignant in your mind that you want to stop and give gratitude for. What I love about this, these are 1 second each, 1 second glimpses into each of these moments that we experience. Maybe for you, things that come flashback to your mind is having a child fall asleep in your arms and you feel the weight of their body fully relaxed and trusting in your arms. Or maybe it's that moment when your cat won't stop pestering you until you pick her up and she's purring loudly on your neck and you just feel that. Or when your baby laughs at you and you just can't get that glow of joy out of your mind. Or maybe it's the stillness as you sat by your table and for the first time in a while you just didn't have any noise. What are those moments that stand out to you as moments to be grateful for? Things that you want to stop and acknowledge and appreciate. Now, Jesus continues on, and I just want to go to two more verses in the same flow of where we've just come from as we're thinking through these moments, because he has so much to speak to this. It says, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied in verse 20, the coming of the kingdom of God is not like something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Now, this has something so important to say about this very topic of gratitude. You see, the people were dominated by the Romans. They were under this oppressive empire, and Jesus says the kingdom of God is here, or the empire is here. And they're like, oh, this is awesome. When are you taking your throne, Jesus? And Jesus shows that his kingdom was about something different. Different than any other human power that had existed or would exist. Jesus says, my kingdom is a kingdom of peace, of self-sacrifice, of service, even when it hurts, of gratitude. My kingdom is one where you stop and you notice what is right there in your midst. It's not something that you have to go searching for because it's right here in front of you. It's right there for you to pay attention to. As one author that I read, he described his friend who takes his son to a matinee every week. It's their tradition together. It's not so unusual. Maybe some of you do that as well, but this man, his son is deaf. And so every time he goes up the counter to buy the tickets, if there's someone new there, they question him. When they see him signing, they say, why are you doing that? He can't hear anything that's going on in the movie. And he said, someone else told him, isn't that a waste? And this man responds and said, I wonder, the last movie that you saw, did you notice what color were the walls? Did you notice how many windows were in the building? Did you pay attention to the color of the heroine's hair or the color of the hero's eyes? Because I tell you, my son noticed all of those things. It's all what you're paying attention to. It's all what you stop to notice. And I thought that was so descriptive of what it is like to walk through this life. It's all what we stop to pay attention to. It's all about the stopping to notice and running back in gratitude, falling down and saying, thank you. I praise you for what I have just experienced right now. So when I stop, when I pay attention, when I notice, I see there is so much to be thankful for. And when I just recount this last week, not in order, I will say, I think through so much to be thankful for. Starting last night when we were packing blessing bags, and I have a 3-year-old, my son, who's running up and down putting snacks in bags and so excited to be able to serve and to be able to help. I think of connection this week, of different people stopping to stop and connect to each other, to share what's going on in each of our lives. I think of the cherub choir who gathered together in Tiny Tots 1 this week and they sang their hearts out. 3 to 5-year-olds singing at the top of their lungs, moving their bodies as fast as they're moving their mouths to sing. It was adorable and beautiful. I think of the praise team leaders who were gathered together saying, what does it look like to usher in the very presence of God among us and that bonding and connection and laughing and food that happens in the midst? Think of our pastors gathered together praying for you, thankful for you, Tuesday mornings. I think of talking with Jenny Makowski this week in Bolivia, and as we're texting back and forth, hearing about her stories of how she's serving there. I think of calling someone who I needed help from, who saved me tons of time this week. I have so much to be thankful for. I think of being a part of this incredible church where so many of you are investing and giving and loving and serving those around you. This is the most amazing church, this community right here, that we just stop and we notice and we pay attention. Here's the invitation for us this Thanksgiving and Christmas season. We are challenged to sit still long enough to notice what we have been given. To stop, to be present, to be aware, to pay attention, to see what's all around us. Or as another good, well-known author said, to see that the bush is burning, to stop like Moses did, to come over and to pay attention to what God is doing right in our midst. The kingdom of God right here, right now, the gifts and the beauty. So this man becomes our teacher. This Samaritan man, this foreigner, this outsider shows us what it looks like to stop. As the praise and worship team is coming up to lead us in our last song in praise, I want to tell you about what you helped to make happen. It's incredible, really, because this last Sunday, the Pathfinders gathered together to pack the first blessing bags, but then last night there was a whole group that packed them too. And together with the Sabbath schools and with all of you bringing in chapsticks and snacks and water bottles and toothbrushes and toothpaste, we were able together as a church to create 801 blessing bags. Right? Awesome, right? So some of these are going to the social workers working with veterans who are homeless. Some of these are going to day laborers in San Bernardino. Some of these are going home with you. Because we want each of us as families to not only receive this blessing, to stop and to appreciate in gratitude, but also to be able to extend the blessing to someone else. So I'm going to ask today that you as a family, that you go up and you receive one of these. There's tables in the foyer, there's tables in the breezeway, whatever way you came in, you can exit. And you can receive, maybe you're going home for Thanksgiving. You might be in grad school and heading somewhere else. Take one, pack it with you. Don't make sure you check it because there's water and they will throw it away. But make sure that you take this wherever you go. You might be driving somewhere for the holidays. Put it in your car. Pray for God to lead you, because this is the opportunity for you to be able to say, God, show me someone who needs this blessing. And let me stop. Let me roll down the window. And instead of just doing nothing or averting my eyes, to be able to say, here, God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. So we invite you to take these with you. And we just also want to acknowledge that the Sabbath schools were rocking it, because they came in with thousands, over 1,000, 1,200 socks, I'm told. So we now have enough to be able to give to another group who's doing a Thanksgiving meal and giving clothes and socks and other goods for people who are doing that. So you guys helped to make, we together made this possible, and I want to thank you and invite you to take these together, that we who have been blessed can pass along the blessing to someone else. Thank you.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Most on high. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name.